The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like a master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I think Nick has the children's sermon this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out here. Today, in my hand, I hold two liquids. I hold a 17-ounce bottle of water and a 12-ounce can of Dr. Pepper. If you go down to the corner store, children, and for a dollar, you can buy either the water or you can buy the Dr. Pepper. You can't buy both. Now, your parents know this, but I'm going to ask you, children, which one do you think tastes better? If you think the Dr. Pepper tastes better, go ahead and nod your head just a little bit and raise your hand. Okay, which one tastes sweeter? If you think it's the water, go ahead and nod your head or go like shake your head no, say you're crazy. This water, it tastes water. It's plain. So it's probably the Dr. Pepper. And your parents also know the answer to this question. Which one do you think is better for your body? On a hot Texas day, and we haven't had 100 degree weather in a long time. On a hot Texas day, you're out helping your dad or your mom outside. You're running around outside. You come in. I'm thirsty. Can you give me something to drink, mother? Please. Probably give you the water. Why? Because she cares about you. So, if you go a month, and it may seem like a very long time, without soda, do you know what's going to happen to your body? Nothing. It's just going to get used to not having sugar in it. If you go a month without having water, do you know what happened to your body? You cramp up, you ache, your bones get a little bit tight, your hands will get a little bit tight. You'd be severely thirsty, almost to the point where you could smell water from a very long time. You cannot survive without water. So you need water to live. And water, for some companies and people who sell us all these things, is not as valuable as soda. It's crazy. We need water, but this right here is bigger than the Dr. Pepper, yet they're both equal in price. So if you go get a bigger can of Dr. Pepper, you're paying about $2. And if you get the super big bottles, you're paying around $4. Kids, I say that today because Jesus ask a very profound question. And he asked, do you know how much you are worth? And to use an illustration, he saw a bird and he started talking about the bird. And this is not the first time Jesus has used a bird to describe how much you, his creation, is worth. In another part of the Bible, Jesus asks you, can you change the color of your hair on your head? The answer is no. And he goes on to say, so you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's problems are tomorrow's problems. Don't worry about them. Trust in Jesus. Trust in my Father. Trust in the Holy Spirit who is protecting you. Today, in this gospel, he uses a bird again. Do you know how much a sparrow is worth? He says, one penny. For one penny, you can get two sparrows. So if you have a nickel, you can go home with 10 sparrows. And he says, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Father. So if you've ever seen a bird outside in nature, while you're out fishing or hunting, you ever seen a bird fly, it does what it wants. No worries. It just goes out there and flies. Doesn't worry about tomorrow. Has complete trust in God that its wings will work. Has complete trust that none of you sharpshooters are going to shoot it. It does what it wants, and it's just a bird. And Jesus says, hey, you're more valuable to me than that bird. I made that bird. It's a good bird. But you are more valuable. You're more valuable than the bird. You're more valuable than the windows that we're about to install. You're more valuable than the house you live in. You're more valuable than this soda. You're more valuable than the biggest bottle of soda. You're more valuable than, who makes this? The Dr. Pepper Company. Who makes that? And they're worth a lot of money. And yet Jesus says, I'd rather have you than them. I'd rather have you than a house. I'd rather have you than a car. I'd rather have you than nice fancy windows. And nice fancy windows are really great. And I appreciate that we're about to have new ones and they're going to look very beautiful. But if Jesus came back inside this church and you asked him, Jesus, can you pick out something valuable? He wouldn't say the floors. He wouldn't say the windows. He'd look at you and say, this man right here who listened and obeyed me. That young lady right there who listens and comes to Sunday school and obeys me. And her mom who teaches Sunday school. And that family in the back who comes here. And that family in the back who also attends our church and worships and sings with their heart. And this young man who's in confirmation and studying more about Jesus and what it means. Y'all are valuable. And to Jesus, y'all are irreplaceable. So today, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much for all the fathers. And thank you so much for all the children who attend St. Paul Lutheran. You are valuable. You are loved. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This text that we have here from Matthew's Gospel this morning is a tough text. There's a lot of phrases or words in here that are fairly strong, and it's not easy for us to understand. And honestly, I did struggle with this gospel lesson this week as I started working on sermon, particularly for Father's Day, as well then too. But in the midst of these harder words, there is even more grace. There is even more good news that comes out of this. As we think about Father's Day, one of the phrases came through here, and it's one of the tougher ones as well too. It's in verse 25. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Fathers, it's not always easy to be a father. Or for those who are in leadership positions, it's not always easy to be a leader. If you are a father, you have a lot of things that you need to juggle. Is my family taken care of? How can I be a good influence on my family? How about when my children act up? How can I handle that? How can I help them to grow up to be good citizens of this country? How can I have them grow up to be good Christians as they get older? And there's a lot of things to balance in there. And also, two fathers are asking, how can I have some time for myself? How can I fulfill my calling, my dreams, and the things that I want to do and still balance all of this out? One of the ways to do it is to be a good leader, to be a good father. The forefront of your mind then, or what your life is about, your vocation is about, is taking care of your family, is to think of the others that you are in charge of. To think about those other people first before you think about yourself. To think about your children. Are my children being taken care of? Do they have the things that they need? Or to think about your wife. Am I taking care of my wife in a way that we can have a happy marriage? Or am I only thinking about myself? When we think only about ourselves, then maybe they'll call us Beelzebul, because everything will go out of line. If I only think about myself as a leader, everything else will go out of line. The first priority in being a father or being a leader of any kind, whether that leader is a father or a mother or a patriarch or matriarch of a family or a politician or a pastor or a bishop or a committee member or a committee chair, somebody that has a task force. The main concern of that person is to care for those, or to take care of the business that you are responsible for. To take care of your children, take care of your family, take care of your constituents, take care of your parishioners, take care of your committee members, and do the work that you're supposed to do as a committee. To take care of those things. That is your responsibility, and that's what you look for. We do that because we want to serve God. We want to follow God's will. If you look at Jesus, that's all that Jesus had in mind throughout his whole ministry. His focus was constantly helping people. His focus was saving the world from their sins. He never lost focus of that. And sometimes he made people angry. Fathers, I know that in your families, everybody's not always happy and laughing. Sometimes there's tantrums. Sometimes there's screaming. Sometimes there's yelling. Sometimes you just don't want to be around anybody. It's not always happy. And sometimes you have to make decisions that everybody doesn't agree with. Hopefully you can work through those things, talk through those things. But at the same time, children aren't happy when you tell them, no, you can't have a cookie before supper. No, do not touch that hot stove. Or you tell them to do something and the child says, no, I don't want to do it. But yet, that is something they need to learn how to do. It's not always easy being a leader. It's not always easy being a father. If you look at Jesus as he went about doing ministry, Jesus made people angry. I know the one time that he went back to Nazareth and he taught in their synagogue. And as he read the scripture out of Isaiah, he told the people, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They became so angry at Jesus that they were ready to throw him off a cliff. Or many other times, Jesus heals people. And you would think that Jesus healing people, people restoring life back to people, people who are Jesus relieving the pains of people so that they do not hurt anymore, or so that they can function in society once again, or even like healing the lepers. The lepers were not considered a part of society. They could not mingle with anybody else. Jesus heals them and restores them back into life once again. And you would think that people would be amazed at what Jesus can do, of these signs of God, these signs of love, that these people are restored. They are made well. They are made alive once again. But that actually makes many people angry, particularly the scribes and the Pharisees. And eventually, after enough of this, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Sadducees are calling for Jesus' life. Jesus has made them so angry just simply because he has cared for the people around him. And he has cared for all people. That's what his ministry was. But none of that caused him to waver from where he was going. Jesus was going to save the world from their sins. Nothing was going to stop them. Jesus was not in a popularity contest. Jesus was not out to get votes. Jesus didn't need people to like him. Or he wasn't concerned about that because he knew that the message that he presented, the kingdom of God is at hand, was the most important thing in this world. We read this passage here in our gospel lesson this morning that being a leader or being a follower of Christ as well can cause division. It can cause strife. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. People are not always happy with the leadership. You know, it's good to be a leader. People do follow you. You seem to be an important person. People look up to you. People ask you questions. People are seeking your advice. And those are all good things to help lift you up. But sometimes it comes down to hard decisions. And you know that there is not a decision that you can make that will make everybody happy. And so what do you do? How do you make that decision? As a father or as a leader of any other capacity, how do you make that decision? You look at what is best for those whom you are responsible for. How best can you lead them in the light of God? How best can you care for them? How best can you make sure that they are protected? How best can you make sure that they have the things that they need to live in this life and to live it well? How do you care for the people? How do you follow that will of God in your leadership? And if you are able to stay attuned to that, you will make people unhappy. But yet, you will still be bringing life. You will be part of that kingdom of God if you follow that will of God. Christ came to this earth and he was willing to give up everything that he had. He gave up any kind of selfish ambition that he would ever have. He gave up his whole time for anything, for everybody, for anybody who needed his help. He spent the time with people. He gave up all his possessions in order to serve people, so that he could go around the countryside, so that he can meet as many people as possible. And Jesus even was willing to give up his life. He gave up everything in his life in order to bring life to other people. Not only for those people who loved him, not only for those people who liked him, not only to those people who listened to him, but even to those people who fought him every step of the way. Even those people who were angry at him, Christ died for them. And Christ died for us. But out of that life, out of that death, came new life and that promise of new life. We have that promise too, that we will be in the kingdom of God. And we have that promise now, that we are in the kingdom of God. God does give us life and he gives it to us abundantly. But we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to take care of those who are around us, whether it's our children, whether it's our constituents, whether it is people of this world, whether it is people of congregations, whether it is people throughout a mission district or a diocese or wherever we are. We need to take care of the people who are under our charge or who are under our responsibility. We need to treat each other with love. We need to listen to one another. Mistakes are made by leaders. And if we listen to other people, if we are listening and understand, those mistakes can be forgiven. Those mistakes can be corrected. I know I've made my share of mistakes as a father, as a pastor, or as a citizen in this country. I know I've made mistakes in the past. But if I listen to people, hopefully things can be corrected. Hopefully, too, I can be forgiven and I can also forgive as well. We simply need to let go of what we have And remember that focus, that we are here to serve God. We are here to serve one another. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Amen.